So today we celebrate the feast of the exaltation of the cross. But why do we exalt the cross? Right? Well, what is exalt anyways? Why do we lift up? Why do we worship? Why do we adore the cross? Why? Or if you look at the cross, right, the adoration cross right there, just look at it. Everybody just look at it, right? I know it's kind of covered with the projector now, okay? But if you look at it, what kind of emotions, like, strike you? Or sacrifice, sorrow, sadness, right? Yeah, there's a cross with a dead body, and most of us, you look at it, I mean, it doesn't arouse, like, happiness, does it? Doesn't arouse, like, oh, yes, wonderful. No. You look at it, and you're kind of like, you kind of cringe, and you kind of don't want to look at it, or maybe you want to avoid it, or you don't want to talk about it. And in fact, whenever we see dead people, or if you see like a drawing or a depiction of dead people, you're like, I'm not really interested in that, right? Because it's part of our culture, part of our society to kind of avoid talking about death, right? And this is especially true when I visit the sick, and when I say prayers for the dead, right? The immediate family member, to this day, I have not heard somebody tell me, Father, my wife, she's dead. Or my grandmother, my grandfather, he's dead. It's more like, well, he's no longer with us. He has expired. He has passed away. He is in a better place. But rarely do I hear people use the word dead. It's kind of impolite to do that, right? And that's why people don't like the actual body, the crucifix on the cross. Some people prefer a nice, simple cross. A nice, simple cross without the body. Because it's nice, right? And some people like to decorate the cross. Want to have nice little flowers and put little angels. You know, like the first communion cross, there's a little boy or a girl praying. You know, that's cute. That's happy. Make you happy. But that one, not so happy. Sacrifice and sadness and all that. Why? Why do we cringe? Why do we try to avoid looking at the cross? And it's something similar to this. Back in my wild days, okay, which was not that wild, okay, but before entering the seminary, when I was dating, okay, I was going out with a girl named Christina, and like most teenagers, right? You're a teenager, you're going out, you think you're in love, right? Okay. Well, one weekend, Christina was, she went away. She went away on a family trip down south, right? That weekend. So that meant I was free. I was free, you know, I was free. So, all right, you have a nice time with your family down south, and you do your thing, I do my thing. All right, we'll see you when you get back, right? So Friday night, I was hanging out with my friends who brought their friends, and we got friends from other schools and new friends, right? Do you see where I'm going with this? Yeah. Seems like you have a lot of experience, you know? So I met Megan, right? Yes. And Megan and I, we had instant, you know, like when you meet someone for the first time, it just like everything clicks on all cylinders, right? Instant chemistry or whatever you want to call it, right? I mean, she loved the 49ers, San Francisco Giants, and the San Jose Sharks. And it's not like she just likes to wear the jersey. She knows her stuff. And the girl who's smart, but she knows her sports, oh, this is amazing. And for like 3 hours, I was talking only with her, And for 3 hours, she was talking only with me. I was fascinated by her. And I think she was fascinated by me, you know. And we just talking, 3 hours, nobody else. And by the end of the 3 hour conversation, she gave me a kiss and her phone number, right? So that was Friday night. Monday morning. And how am I feeling Monday morning? Yeah, like that cringing, right? And like some of us who don't like to look at the crucifix, do you think I wanted to look at Christina? Absolutely not. Monday morning, I can hear her voice. Now, she's got one of those high-pitched voices. You could, you know, I could hear her voice from a mile, and she's walking over, and I'm like, you know, and she approaches me. I begin to cringe. I can't even look her in the eye. And she says, "How you doing, Steve?" Yeah, I'm fine. No, you're not. Doesn't look like it. Are you okay? Is everything okay? I mean, anything happened over the weekend? No. I'd rather not talk about it. Nothing memorable, you know. Coward. You know, I try to ignore it. I try to rationalize it, right? I mean, it's not like she initiated talking with me. I wasn't looking for anything, you know. But every time since that Monday, every time I saw Christina's face, I was thinking of Megan, right? Every time I saw Christina's face, I began to cringe. And I began to think of what I did wrong, of how I betrayed her, right? So I eventually had to tell her, right? And it's the same thing in the first reading, the book of Numbers. The Israelites, what did they do? They begin to complain against God. And as a result, the Lord sent among the people serpents, and these serpents which bit people, right? But God tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and mount it on a pole. And if anyone who has been bitten looks at it, he or she will be healed. He or she will recover, right? So every time they looked at that bronze serpent, okay, mounted on the pole, they were reminded of complaining against God. And that started the healing process. Like every time I looked at Christina, I was reminded of when I betrayed her. And I ultimately confessed to her, right? And Jesus tells us, right, just like Moses, who lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So like looking at Christina's face, like looking at the bronze serpent, if we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we cringe and we tend to avoid it because we cannot help it but recognize our own faults, our own weaknesses, our sins, right? But the beauty is that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not demand equality, something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself in the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, right? So when we honestly face the cross of Jesus Christ, lay down our faults, lay down our weaknesses, lay down our sins at the foot of the cross, right? The end result is liberation. The end result is liberation. Like when I told Christina what happened, yeah, there's a lot of consequences involved with that, okay? A lot of drama and, you know, headaches, okay? But I got it out. I got the monkey off my chest. I felt liberated, right? When the Israelites, when they saw the bronze serpent, they recognized their faults and they were healed. And when we gaze upon Jesus on the cross, our human weakness, the times we have failed him, the end result is liberation, salvation. Salvation Jesus conquering even death itself. Right? So I ask you this week, all right, spend some time looking, gazing, meditating on the cross, right? And I'm talking about a real cross, a crucifix, not one of those like, you know, the flowery decorated crosses, okay? Not one of those like resurrected crosses, okay? The real deal, a Catholic crucifix, okay? Spend some time looking, gazing, meditating on the cross of Jesus Christ. And ask yourself, well, what are my reservations? Why do I cringe? Or why do I avoid looking at the cross? And look at the cross directly, honestly, genuinely, authentically. Imagine the crucified Christ looking into you, looking into your soul. What is he saying to you? What are my faults, my weaknesses? What are my sins that I need to place at the foot of the cross? And what are the things that Jesus is telling me to reconcile in my life?